Is this a Netflix thing?
It's actually a podcast. It's,
what the fuck's a podcast?
You know, it's kind of like a radio show.
Call that radio.
Yeah, exactly.
As you call that radio, I think it's season 4. I think it's episode 16, and I hope that introduction annoyed you as much as it annoyed me. We're doing the podcast early, 2 days early. Instead of a Sunday podcast, you're getting a Friday night podcast for two reasons. One, we talk about a gig that's happening tomorrow, so it's a last gasp attempt to get people to go to the gig. But the majority of you will be watching it. Sorry, the majority of the people that are listening to this have either already been to the gig or you've missed the gig because you're living in the future. But I thought I'd put this up. I cut off the first half hour. It's an interview with Hugh Reid, by the way. I just noticed that Hugh Reid has never been on the audio podcast. And over lockdown, Hugh has been on the show 10, 15, maybe even 20 times. He's a really good guy and an underground legend. He toured with Blondie in the 80s. He told a story in the bit that I've cut off, actually, about how he was taking mushrooms with the Pogues and Joe Strummer from The Clash. If you want to watch the full thing, you can check it on YouTube. But the reason I cut the first half hour off is because we had some technical issues trying to bring Jinx Lennon on and Joe Bone on, and I just thought it was kind of like an advert for the gig. The first half hour was just pretty much a full advert, and we don't do adverts on You Call That Radio. We have no sponsors, we have no adverts, we have no funding. We are powered purely by our patrons, and thank you to everyone who supports the show at patreon.com/ You Call That Radio. £3 a month, and you get bonus material, you get discounts, you get free guest list to festivals and gigs and stuff like that. And also you just support the show so that people that don't have £3 a month can listen to the show for free, because we don't have any paywalls or anything like that. The show is for everyone. And as the reason I would like to say an extra thank you, because it feels like we've had a moment. It's 5 years and we're celebrating it with a gig at Room 2 tomorrow. It's Friday night as I'm doing this. And what a ride it's been. Thank you to everyone who's been supporting this show, whether you watch it on YouTube or you listen on Apple or Spotify. Shouts to Jam, actually, for being my first Spotify commenter. Commenter. I didn't even know you could do comments in Spotify, but if you're listening to Spotify, you can. Please leave a comment saying, yes, if you're listening to Spotify. But anyway, Hugh Reid, Velvet Underpants, they make very funny music. The live performance is off the scale. And yeah, they've got so many interesting stories, but it's going to be a wee bit different. It's not like we're going to go into the backstory of the band or anything like that, because I have had them in the show about 15 times, and I know. So this is more like a conversation between two friends who were just chatting away. And at one point, Hugh Reid turns the tables on me and actually becomes the interviewer, which is quite interesting. Maybe I should get interviewed on You Call That Radio. I've never been interviewed in 5 years, so maybe we'll do that another time. But thank you very much for everybody for supporting us over the last 5 years, and enjoy this conversation with the legendary Hugh Reid.
Brothers and sisters, may the peace that can only come from the one God be upon you. We are here to tell the people that we hear you.
Call that radio. Mate Grootube listens to vinyl in the car.
But, well, that's my guitar. That's the band's guitarist. I've invited the band, but they've all
shattered.
They don't like to be associated with me too much.
It's a great band, man. It's definitely, I think, the tightest I've ever seen the pants.
Absolutely.
A tight pair of pants.
Well, I'm the major member in the pants, you know. It's a totally excellent band, musicianship wise, you know, absolutely. So,
and how long have, obviously you said you started in the 80s, but how long has this incarnation of the band been going?
Well, Darren, who you'll know, he's actually been in the band since 2001, which I think is incredible, really. But then Davey's been in and out of the band, the bass player, since that time. But Magoo came on board about 2 years ago, and then Chris has joined in the last year or so. But not them all. We all used to work in... Were you ever in Northern Rock? You know, the community music project in Royston?
I thought you were going to say the bank.
No, I was a manager of this community music project up in Royston, which was great. It was a great time. That was from 2000 to 2009, 10. And then the powers that be decided not to give us any more funding. But so much happened. That's how I know Joe Bone. Joe used to come in and record. And we had a recording studio with lots of different music classes and all that all over the north of Glasgow. So that was a really good time, and that's how we all met each other.
I used to work in a call centre in Royston around about that time.
Is that right, aye?
That is right.
And so whereabouts in Royston was that then?
It was the Rosemount workspace, behind the flats.
Well, we were in the Rosemount school. We were in the basement of the school, you know.
So, yeah, it was actually quite an interesting one, because one day we were at work and they said, does anyone want to go home early to watch the Old Firm game? And obviously we all said, yes. And then the next day we came into work and there was just a big sign up saying, this company no longer exists. And there was newspapers were there. And that's what the day that I learned, just to say no comment to the newspaper. And I stupidly made a comment to a newspaper earlier on this year, and I get stung by that again. Just say no comment if a newspaper ever asks you a question. It's what I've learned. But yeah, they basically took they took a bit of the truth and then just kind of moulded it. It was nothing bad, but just they said that I hadn't been paid for 3 months and I had a family to support. And it wasn't true. I mean, I didn't have a family to support.
You had a band to support, you know?
I didn't even have a band. I didn't even have a band, man. Apart from, you know, I mean, as long as I had my soap bar, I was fine. And, you know, it was a cheaper time, man. Greg's was 40 pence a sausage roll. You know, you could probably get a pie and two sausage rolls for a pound. Because Greg's came in and tried to, you know, they undercut all the bakers and just offered everything a lot cheaper. And the only one that's really survived is McGee's, which I think McGee's is still in Royston. So shout outs to the McGee's bakery, still keeping it real. Still fighting the good fight against the evil corp of Greg's, the baker corp that is Greg's. But yeah, they just said, I think I was with an agency, so I get paid weekly. So I was only owed a week's wage or something, and then I got it anyway. But they put me in the front page staring at looking sad. I think they said I'd been paid for 3 months and their family support, and then I was getting messages from people saying, I didn't know you had a family.
Sure.
But yeah, don't ever speak to the newspapers. Don't speak to the newspapers, don't speak to the police.
There was a lot of strange things went on in Royston. I can tell
Royston
you that.
Royston, Vasey.
Very public of
tell
Royston,
me about Royston.
You know?
Did people make Royston Vasey jokes, like League of Gentlemen jokes, because it was Royston Vasey?
Well, we were a local music centre for local people. But I remember there was the Huddle. Did you ever see the Huddle up there? That was a sort of it was a bar, but obviously it's very much for Celtic area up there. And I remember the Huddle was taken over by some new people, and when it was taken over by the new people, they sacked the old bouncers or something. So the very first night it opened, the old bouncers came down and the whole place was set on fire, you know, and it was just like obliterated. And I found things went on in Royston that you never read about. Well, you seem to have get quoted in the paper, but things happen. I remember one time we set up this community concert, and it was at the bottom of where the steeple is. And so we've set up this, we've gone in early and set up the community thing. And then we're going, how come no one's come in? And we went outside and found, in the meantime, we were now in a crime scene. It had been taped off by the police. Someone had been stabbed outside. So that was why people weren't coming in, because it was now a taped off crime scene. But there was so there was a lot of things happened. But it was all done in the best possible taste. It was all
with stabbing people in the best possible taste.
No, well, I don't know. Just so many bizarre. Okay, well, for me, one of the things I found is I've been born and raised in Glasgow, but I'm from the south side, and I went up to Royston and Milton and Provan Mill, and I was going, how come I've never been to these places? But then when I was actually up there working, I realised there's nothing here. You know, obviously, there's decent people, very good people, but other than that, there's nothing that would bring you up there, you know?
We played a gig in Milton, the Milton Music Festival, with, I think, Kyle Faulkner for The View and a couple other bands. And that was the first time I think I'd ever been to Milton. And that was good, that what you said, good people, but there isn't... Whoever runs... It's a community group, though, that ran that, and whoever they were, I can't remember off the top of my head, it will come back to me. What a great job they were doing, by the way. Just...
Oh, well, there was great youth clubs. We worked, like, with Royston Youth Action, and there was different youth... You would cover Postle and all that, and there was great youth clubs, and there was youth workers doing great work and volunteers, but, of course, everybody was struggling for funding. You know, and then, of course, they stopped. That was why I moved to China, because when our funding was stopped, I just felt totally disillusioned. So I just thought, I've got to get out of here. I just felt disillusioned, you know. But
yeah, there's just no funding anyway for it. In fact, do you know what? I actually got the knockback for funding. And actually, can I actually just take this a moment to say, when everyone else is slagging the funders and blah, 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 I'm like, well... I used to do that years ago, but then I realised I've never actually applied for funding. So how can I turn around and say it's all clicky when I've never applied? So you need to fill out the form to do it, but I'm really bad at filling out forms. So I filled out a form with the help of a friend, Josephine. Shout out to Josephine. And we were going to take... We'd built up the connections in Mexico, and we were going to take Scottish musicians to Mexico and the Mexican musicians to Scotland. We had a venue over there with musicians. It was all ready to go. And I got the knockback. So now I can say that all funding is cliquey. It's all bullshit. I finally filled out a form. And what did I get? Nothing. Well, nothing but abuse.
Famously, you know, your man, McGarvey. And by the way, I back this up, Mark. He said, you do more for... up-and-coming musicians in Scotland that Creative Scotland do with zero funding. And that's true. You give people a platform, you know, and it's not condescending or anything, you know?
Yeah, but we need the funding to so we can pay the artists right. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Because, like, I just end up having to take a financial risk on the gigs, and then I can't afford to lose money. Well, it's not even about... It's not like trying to make money. So like this gig here right now, I'm looking at ticket sales and I'm going, I think we're going to break even. Everything's going to be all right. I'm not trying to make any money off it. You know, just split it between the bands, buy everyone around with profits or whatever. But there is just...
Make sure that you get your cut, Mark. You deserve it. I don't want a cut.
I just don't want to lose. You know what I mean? I think that's what puts off a lot of the good promoters is that you end up... You know, you need to be working a full-time job to pay for the gigs.
I mean, this is one of the reasons, well, you know, the job I'm doing just now is going to finish the contracts at the end of March, but we'll...
Can you talk about what you do as well? I don't want to ask, because I don't like asking people what they do in case it's a mysterious thing, or can you talk about it? Or would you
not? Yeah, I can. I was working with the refugees down here, which I loved. I felt so lucky to have that job. And then it was a usual funding thing. They stopped the funding there last September. But fortunately, because I work for kind of a Gyllene Butte Council sort of thing, there's a new thing called the Levelling Up Fund, you know. And so...
I just loved your face there.
Well, you know, there's so many caveats around the whole thing. I have to be careful what I say. So many caveats.
Was Levelling Up Fund, was that not the thing that the Tories brought that into?
The Tories brought it in.
to give a nod to the north. It was a wee nod to the north.
Yeah, and so
and that was part of that was going to be the super fast train. They didn't even go into Scotland, but technically it was going to help us get to England faster.
Yeah, well, fortunately, the Greenham Butte Council got some money for that, and then so my job, I'm believe it or not, I'm a supervisor. I'm surprised at that, but they didn't give me a pay rise; just gave me the same rate. But then, so they've got some part-time workers in Lochgilphead and Dunoon, and then over here, you know, just in Rossie, and then I'm sort of the supervisor. But again, it'd be better if they gave longer term funding. It looks as if the Labour crowd, as far as I can work out, I better be careful what I say. It looks as if the Labour crowd are not going to carry on funding it. I don't know all the ins and outs, but I think with these funding things, what tends to happen is it's always funding like for a year. So you just get the thing moving. You get the thing moving, then it's time to finish it. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, you don't just watch what you're saying because you are involved. You might relying for them. I can say nothing to do with you. Let me take you off the screen. I can say it's nothing but a scam. Start funding the real projects. Fucking making people fill out forms, man. Get a grip of yourselves. Just give us money and we'll make good things happen. I'll put in the gigs. He'll look after the refugees. We'll just get all these people to do workshops. We could do better. Sorry, Hugh. Cut to
yeah,
you.
Sure.
Hugh, sorry, don't agree with me. It's nothing to agree with you.
Well, no, I'm very pleased that the jobs that having these jobs here I've enjoyed, and I do feel it's valuable. You know, genuinely feel it's valuable. But it's always this periodic funding that I find, because that's what happened when I was the manager of the music project. You were always going from year to year and blah, blah, blah. What's wrong with just setting something up and keeping it going? And it would, financially, it would make more sense, because then people have to spend so much time fundraising and all that as well, you know. And then another thing is, it's not good to build people up to knock them back down again. You know what I mean? With such...
Yeah, it needs to be, yeah. Because what is the point in sending someone good to do good work for 6 months and then you just leave, you're leaving whatever that may be.
And it takes a while what I find is it takes a while to get things moving.
So aye, obviously,
it takes 5-6 months to get things set up. So
young people are going to put up walls and they're going to take a while to get used to you, and they're going to, you know, you've got to build a rapport.
So. And that's it. It's things like identifying the centres, identifying the people to work with, you know, and so on. And, you know, so you get all that done and then you begin to get things moving, and then it sort of finishes. No, but you deserve funding, Mark. Absolutely.
Oh, I tried. I filled it. Like I said, I filled in my first form and I get the note back. So that's it. I'm raging now. I've always said, you know, if you're not filling out the forms, how can you say it's a clique? How can you say that it's broke? And now I've actually got the knockback. Now I can say that it's fucked.
You know Bonnie Prince Bob, of course. You've interviewed Bonnie Prince Bob.
I think he just commented there. Yeah, he's here. This content.
He's got a lot to say about all that.
He certainly does have a lot to say. Check out his show, by the way. What the X, Bonnie Prince Bob.
Yeah, follow his. I don't use X and all that stuff, but follow his X and follow his YouTube and all that.
Yeah, that is. I don't know. I think he was doing it every day at 6 o'clock, and now he seems to be on a lot though.
Obviously, he's Edinburgh based. I've been through his studio. He seems to have a routine of doing it on. He has his morning rant.
So he's saying knocking you back is the biggest joke ever. Right before you start tagging Creative Scotland, it's the British Arts Council you need to go after. Because I'm just thinking that'll be him typing away saying. Creative Scotland, fuck it. It's British Arts Council that knocked me back. I've still not applied for Creative Scotland, but that's coming next. I'm actually going to put a poll up. Should I apply for funding again? Because it's kind of put me off funding again, because it was a lot of work to get there.
What you should do is you should try and get that wee clip of Darren McGarvey on Question Time. That in itself should... Well, in a fair world, that should have got you funded.
I know, but it's not the way you fill out forms. And also, I don't think Darren's the most popular person when it comes to funding, because I think, I can't remember what he did, but did he not do a tour called Not Funded by Creative Scotland or Not Supported by Creative Scotland, or he was going to do it?
Well, actually, being honest, you know, most of the, it's like us doing our bands. We've never had any funding. I've never had any funding.
Never.
Never. Or anything.
Gyro Babies has never had any funding, not once. Not once. And then all the people that do get funding to put their gigs on, they never invite Gyro Babies to play. I don't think. Not that I'm aware of, anyway.
Yeah, sure.
We don't really fit that one. Probably, I mean, I suppose, in a roundabout way, I'm assuming that some of the festivals we played for probably had some public funding. But, yeah, never. Jackal Trades, mother band, never had any funding. You call that radio, never had any funding. We just don't get it. But I've just put a poll up.
Of course, the major funder in the old days was the Dole. That was who funded the bands in the 80s and 90s. Maybe it still does, but Dole money's even less than it used to be, you know?
I think it's not just the fact that the money's less, it's the fact that they've turned looking for a job into a job itself, and the fact that you've got to do so many hours, you've got to prove, you know, they've actually got you working or making up lies every day. So, it used to be that we just let musicians get stoned and write tunes and not ask too many questions of them. And that's why you got so many great bands coming through. It's tough to be working class, especially at least, we're older, so we've had the opportunity to see things from different angles, have experiences. But to start out just now on the dole, I mean, that's how Gyro Baby started. That's what kind of how the name started and stuff. It was unemployment. And I just don't know if you could do that now. I don't know if you can
see
that.
As I say, yeah, the first 8 or 9 years I was doing my band, I was on just on the dole. And I remember they used to be, well, they called it Enterprise Training, ET, but we used to call it Extra Tenor. But I remember being in there and using the photocopier to photocopy posters and stuff. And then the guy disciplined me for it, you know. And I'm going, but this is my enterprise. This is what I'm trying to do. This is the only thing that you could do for me. Allow me to use a photocopier. And he banned me. So I was thinking, you know.
The Tories, they did not. Well, it was when they said that it was unviable. Just stop doing art. It's unviable. Get a job in IT.
But actually, the biggest, UK industry, or one of the biggest, is the entertainment industry. You know, the whole, you know, as an industry.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, why would you come to the UK unless you wait? Apart from, you've got, okay, you've got nature. Here, the nature's good. It is good. Sometimes I think we exaggerate it a wee bit, but it is good. I've been to other places now. I can say it's good. But apart from that, I mean, why would you wouldn't come? You wouldn't want to check out the nature in the winter. So why else are you going to come? The royal family, do you want to take a picture at the castle? They say that, you know, a lot of people that like the royal family, they say things like, they bring a lot of tourists in. But the same people that say that they bring a lot of tourists in are the same people that hate foreign people. So it's an interesting one. My quite distracted there. I was reading a comment. Sorry. My point is that it's the music scene. We've got the UK, Glasgow up here. It's the music scene is phenomenal. And will it be like that forever? If there's just all the tourism money, all the multi-billion, is it billion pounds? How much is the UK? You continue and I'm going to get the number.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say is, you know, when I was in China, I used to say to my friends and bands, you know, like my English friends, and I say, we are the ambassadors. You know, the reason why do Chinese students and people want to go to UK? It's not because of the government. It's not because of David Cameron or Boris Johnson or someone. It's because of music. It's because of maybe movies and stuff. It's because of like train spotting, stuff like that. You know,
I'm not sure that job seekers allowance and bad weather that creates, because obviously that's why, you know, I love other countries' music, but you'll notice when you go to a warm country that the music's not quite as good. 6.7 billion. And I don't know, that might just be England and Wales. 6.7 billion.
So why does everyone laugh at you? Why do people laugh at you at the Dole? Or why does your friends or your family laugh at you when you say, I would like to do something with music?
Or even with art, you know, video or something, more generally, you know.
I'm not slagging the painters. France gets a lot of tourists and they've got a more cutting opinion on royalty.
I think France is much more generous in giving out grants.
I think the joke was the cutting opinion on royalty.
Everyone
that goes to France, we've never played Europe. That's something on the bucket list. I'd love to do next year. And we nearly had it all sorted before the world went mad.
Well, I remember going years ago, I used to go and see Circus Archaeos. You know, they'd come to Glasgow Green and stuff. And it would be like people on motorbikes, on tight ropes and all that. And then there'd be fire eaters, you know, sort of dancers. And then you find out they're funded by the French government. That's what it was like. Well, this is 20 years ago, you know. But you wouldn't see that sort of thing being funded by Creative Scotland or whatever.
Fund the fire eaters. Someone needs to fund the fire eaters. I'll tell you what, I've actually got friends that are fire eaters. They never get any funding.
The fire starters as well.
Fund the fire starters. I think someone's funding the fire starters with all the amount of old buildings that seem to mysteriously go up in flames over here. But yeah, everyone that goes to France especially always says they know the way that they look over you there is different class. You're given a meal, you're paid properly, you've got somewhere to stay, and people are nice to you. And then you play a gig in Southampton.
Maybe it's good for the art and good for the music that you get treated like shit.
I think it is, but can we not have a middle ground?
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Just somewhere in the middle. It is the shite weather. It is the shite government that does create these good music, but, I mean, it's hard to create when you're just living abroad. I mean, you can create. I mean, to be honest, I think in my worst days, writing lyrics is easier. For me, it's kind of therapeutic, I find it. But to actually get to the point where you're demoing songs and having to pay for recording and stuff like that. Apply to CS and demand they give you the law. No one deserves it more. So let's see how the poll's going on. We'll have a wee look. So you can vote in the poll. If you're watching this on Facebook or Twitter, then you can't vote because it's only a YouTube thing. And if you're, it's 100% yes. So I'll just keep applying for funding until they give me something. Maybe that's all I can do.
I don't have much success myself, but if you needed a hand, Mark, I could look over it for what it's worth.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Let's just do
it. I mean, if you're putting something in, send it to me and I'll look over it.
Yeah. We need to maybe get like a coalition of skin artists to just look at each other's forms and try and get something through. Love Hugh. Hi in the Velvet Underpants. I actually called you that earlier on in the bio. Have you ever made
I have been called Huge in the Velvet Underpants before.
great performers. Looking forward to YCTR 5th year at Room 2 in Glasgow this Saturday. Yeah, it's going to be a good one. Unholy Frankenstein's tuned in to listen. That was Joe. Couldn't get the camera, the audio, and vice versa. No worries at all, Joe. I appreciate Joe making the effort to try and come on the show, because I've been trying to get Joe on this show for absolute years. So what we'll do is maybe the next time when we're off air, we'll have a wee tech check together.
Sure.
And then we'll...
No, Joe's got a lot of stories to tell.
Oh, no, absolutely. So looking forward to that. So, Hugh, we're talking about work there. What is the worst job you've ever had?
The worst job? I worked briefly for Strathclyde Regional Council. It was awful. It was an office job thing. I think I was 21. I just stuck it for 3 months. I couldn't take it. That was the worst job. But other than that, I've actually had quite good jobs. You know, I'm community music worker, and then a teacher in China, and more recently these jobs here community jobs. So in recent years, I've managed to, you know, get positive jobs that I enjoy, and then I've still managed to keep the band and that going, you know. So
do you want to know my worst job?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Selling giant calculators to shopkeepers in Callander. Nightmare. It's not a joke. It was my real job. It was my job. It was one of those, I don't know if they're still a bit, but basically what they do is they kind of scam you by saying, I'm a job in marketing with them, what's the word they use for up to £100,000 or something like that. And then they make you an interview, you think that you've did well with the interview, they give you the job, it's commission only. And then you, unbeknown to you, you've joined some kind of, a cult.
Right.
Like a kind of brainwashed cult, like a kind of pyramid scheme going on, where it's like, I think your team leader's getting a cut off of your stuff, and if you say anything negative, like, you know, for example, there was one day where I made negative 80 quid because
right.
I was stashing my stock, because you couldn't carry all your stuff about, at a mechanic's, and the mechanic stole some Disney books or something. So you've got to eat food, you've got to smoke cigarettes. We don't have to smoke cigarettes. I chose to smoke cigarettes. You've got to eat food. You've got to pay your train fare at this random place. And it was Callander. I remember the shopkeepers of Callander were particularly rude to me. They were just like screaming at me to get out of their shop. And then when I came back, minus 80 quid, they said, I should stop negging people out. Don't be neg. Get away from him. He's a neghead. This is actually the day. These things still going. I noticed there was a Reddit thread about them recently.
I saw a documentary about things like that. And basically, it's all about scamming from the workers. Basically, the manager is making money from the workers. That's what the whole thing is.
Yeah, the main manager, the team leader above, is getting a little bit more, just enough to make them not quit their job. But
you're actually the customer because you're buying the stuff.
Exactly.
To flog, you know.
Yeah, it didn't last long there. Commission only. It's tough. Colin says, start a GoFundMe for a Crave Scotland bribe. I mean, is Crave Scotland even going to have money next year, the way things are going? I don't know what happened with that. They went back, I'm sure.
They were going to stop the money, but I've heard
Is that not the biggest political trick in the game? It's what they do is they say something like, I don't know what's happening with the Labour, with the pensions getting, you know, the heating allowance getting cancelled. Did they overturn that? Well, I see.
I think that they haven't. You know, that's still going to, the pensioners are not going to get their money, but as far as I understand.
Okay, is it means tested? So they were defeated. No, but they were defeated in a vote, but they've doubled down on their decision to cut it. So I thought what they would do is, so this is the political trick that I notice quite a lot, is they say something controversial like that, everyone gets pissed off, and then they go, do you know what, you can have, and everyone thinks they've just won, but they've just spent months of their energy fighting for something they already had, and
yeah.
It seems like, I think it was Tony Benn, I've seen Tony Benn doing a good thing talking about that before, so you're just wasting all your energy getting back to where you were, so that it feels like real progression sort of never really happens. So with regards to, let's get back to the music, because we've got this big gig on Saturday, and I think what I'd like to do is play one of your tunes, just for maybe people that aren't familiar with the back catalogue of the Velvet Underpants. So there's too many songs for me to choose, but I decided to go to 61.
Fair enough. That was the first one, but it's still maybe one of the most popular.
I think there's something really cool about how this video's aged.
I know, but it's still a quality video, if I say so myself.
You certainly can say so. Let's play it just now. This is
filmed at Inherities, mostly Inherities.
Was
the South Side.
I didn't know that, and I was actually Inherities not that long ago. Interesting fact. Brilliant. Okay, well, this is 61 by Huey the Velvet Underpants. Let us know. In fact, maybe what we'll do is We'll maybe do a competition to give away a couple of tickets for the gig on Saturday as well. I'll think of a question, or Hugh, you think of a question, and we'll maybe give away a couple of free tickets for room two on Saturday.
Right.
So, yeah, you can pick the question.
Up in Glasgow. Do you understand? I'm from Glasgow. I'm a Glasgow man. I went to see my team play just the other Saturday against the old enemy.
Who's that?
Who that is, I'll no say. But I'm telling you, it wasn't much fun. They got thrashed 6-1. It was 6-1. 6-1. So I decided to drown my sorrows. Do you understand? So I heads up to Sarry Heath, just up at the Barrowland. But after a while, I started losing command. After a while, I could hardly stand. So I decided it was time I was gone. Before I gave it the Technicolor yawn. So anyway, I'm heading along the road. But suddenly, I shot my load. Six fans of the other persuasion. I look at the state I'm in. One of them sees me, he starts to laugh. One of them starts strangling me with a football scarf. I'm telling you, it's no fun. Getting your head kicked in, 6-1. Next thing, along comes a policeman. Out jumps a policeman. Where you been? Where you going? What you been doing? And the radio's in.
Romeo, Echo, Delta.
You've been in trouble before. Then he opens the back door. I look to the back of the van. There's five more of them. They want a chance to stand. Six months later, I'm charged with breach. So I get on the phone line to a famous law firm. When I got to the court case, the legal aid lawyer says I'm a nutcase.
He's a nutcase, my lad.
And he's representing five others. Do you understand? One legal aid lawyer representing six dry men. What chance did I stand? It was 6-1. Now here I am in the bar L. In a very small cell. You feel more dead than alive when you're sharing a cell with an R5. I'm telling you, it's a living hell. Six in a very small cell. It's no fun. It's 6-1!
Call that radio making coherent sense since 2019. We're going to celebrate the 5th of October 2024, 5 years of this stuff. And Hugh Reid, who you just heard there, will be last on at 9:25. Before that, there'll be Jinx Lennon, there'll be Brenda, who we've not actually spoke about. We're hoping we're going to get Brenda. Oh, wrong one. We're hoping we're going to get Brenda on the show, but I think I know that they're rehearsing tonight, so I don't know if they've got the reception to do so. Brenda are great, though, if you don't know. It's kind of three female synth punk riot girl.
Have you got a video of them or anything?
I think so. I mean, I think that they don't. They've got an album, but I was trying to find an actual music video. But we maybe find a live version of them doing something. Yeah, let's find a wee bit. Let's find a wee bit of live video. If the sound's all right, we can just play it. We'll give it a go. But they're going to be great. It's the right thing for the gig, and I like the way it's flowing. We're going to start with Gordy. We'll play a wee Gordy song maybe in a wee bit as well. Actually, a string one. But yeah, so we're starting off with the silky vocals of God the Duncan, and then we'll move to Unholy Frankenstein. Brenda, they've got an album out on Spotify. So, but it doesn't seem to be. I can't find any of their actual music videos. But yeah, that was just, I think, some phone footage there of them playing. But yeah, looking forward to that.
How long have you been doing your radio podcast?
5 years.
No. But did you not do the radio before the video?
Yeah, 5 years ago.
What was that? Only 5 years ago? I seem to remember you interviewing me on something that went out on the internet or something about 10 years ago.
Right, okay, aye, that wasn't, yeah. I tried this stuff before. I tried it, yeah, ages ago. There used to be, so where did it start? Gyro FM was a thing. I can't remember. I don't remember how we broadcast that. Oh, yeah, I had a show on, it was KA Radio, it was in Ayrshire. Was it an online or was it FM? I'm not sure, but I had a radio show there and it was called Gyro FM. And every week we would take, the venue I was working for at the time, they would give me about £40 to pay for me and my guests to go to Kilmarnock and record the radio. And
I was on something, you know, in the city centre there, quite near St. Enoch's.
Ah, right, okay, so that was still Gyro FM. So what happened was, is that I stopped, I no longer had my job, I lost my job. And then, so that obviously he wasn't. Well,
I was hardly aware that you ever had a job apart from that.
Well, I do work. Yeah. It's just, it's mostly freelance though, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, I'm available. I'm basically unemployed now. Well, I've got this, but I mean, it's not really unemployed, it's just that people just offer me work and then I take it if I can. And then I sometimes do too much. I take too much on. And then right now, I think I would just, I've got an album to finish. So I think I'm just going to be skint for a month or two and just try and get the album finished and try and focus on the podcast and the YouTube channel. But it's one of those annoying things because you need to pay your bills. So you have to take the work and then you do the work. And then as a result, this suffers. And then you get less patrons and you get less support. So it's a vicious cycle. So I'm trying to sort it out. But yeah, what you're talking about is after, so I used to work for the venue and the venue would pay me to go and do the radio show because we were promoting at the time the venue because I was the booker for the venue. So it was kind of a promo thing. And then when I lost my job, the radio station still wanted me to do it, but I wasn't going to go to Kilmarnock for it. So we found a way to broadcast live from Dixon Street Studios. There he is actually, just right on cue, calling with Gyro FM.
Right.
So he's got, Colin's got recordings, and I have actually seen them. He played me a little clip a couple of years back, and this is as old, you're talking 12 years old.
Yeah, I remember you had interesting guests, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was good. I really can't remember much about it. I remember it had been fun. And then after that, we tried to do another thing called Pet Horoscopes, which was on Pet Horoscopes was a show. It was on, and it's actually a real thing now. There is actually, because when I Google Pet Horoscopes,
it sounds an interesting concept.
Well, I mean, I wasn't actually doing Pet Horoscopes, but I just thought it was a funny thing. And then now that is a thing. I think you can get like pet readings, like spirituality stuff. I don't know. Right. It's becoming a thing. I predicted the future. I should have actually did real pet horoscopes. You know what I mean? I could have bought Twitter if I did that. But right, pet horoscopes. So I was short lived. Pet horoscopes were short lived, and then there was Well Sound, which was another thing that we streamed. It was a Sound Thief helped me do that. We used to stream that live from a flat in the south side, and that was quite good as well.
Sure.
But it was just a lot of work, and you know, we were just streaming to, like, I think our own, I don't know, was it Mixcloud or something like that? Something like mix.lr, I don't know, something like that. But yeah, it was actually 5.5 years ago, if I'm being honest, that we started this. But
right,
the birthday would have been in, was right in the middle of festival season. So I was like, well, I should actually celebrate that, but I'm too busy. So it was the first guest ever was the late, great Reverend D. Wayne Love, Jake Black of Alabama 3 fame.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
And then obviously he passed away before we launched it, so we actually had to hold on to that till December. So I think the first three official guests that we put out was Brother Ali, American hip-hop legend.
Right.
Layla Josephine. And I think Gordy Duncan was the first three. So, and that was about, give or take, about 5 years ago. Then a couple of months out from 5 years ago. And then obviously when lockdown happened, we just went straight into it with Captain Hot Knife. So we'd already kind of had You Call It Radio. We'd already maybe had about 12 audio podcasts out. And then we kind of focused on this and forgot to really take care of the audio podcast. Which is, if you're listening to this in the audio podcast, that means I've taken care of you. That means I have sent this audio to Mako to mix and master, and then I've uploaded it to the audio podcast. Because sometimes it doesn't really work though, because some of it is quite visual we do here, you know, for watching videos and stuff like that. But yeah,
but I think a lot of the
next question
interviews you'll have will be historic. You know, people look back on them.
Yeah, that's why I've
been 15 years time, you know.
Yeah, I've kind of unlisted most of it because when I looked, I was actually making some of it public. Actually, for anyone who's a YouTube member, I've started making a whole bunch of the older videos now available for members only. So if you're a YouTube member, you can just hit the join button on YouTube, and which is a kind of different thing from Patreon, because what this does is gives you access to videos that I'd...
Well, for example, that interview with Jake from Alabama 3, that must be very well regarded.
Yeah, I mean, I got lots of good feedback from it because it was, you know, it was all very sudden, and it was probably his last ever interview. So
right.
And also, I held back to it out of respect for the family, but then
but then
when Alabama 3 were playing in December, I asked, and everyone, the band were delighted to, and the family were happy for me to release it. And yeah, a lot of people said it was really good because it was, you know, he was on good form. And, it, you know, you can check it out. It's on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube as well. It's actually quite sad. There's actually quite a few people that I've interviewed that passed away. I suppose it's the law of averages when you do this many shows. But Dominic Harkin as well. Dominic Hawking as well. That was sad. He did famously did the East 17 Stay Another Day song. He worked with East 17, but he did stuff with Boy George, Tribe Called Quest. He did Can I Kick It by Tribe Called Quest. I
mean, what's that right? Yeah.
So I interviewed him as well. He's passed away. With Kathy McCormick, who you probably know. She was an amazing, powerful East End woman who just fought against austerity, or before it was called austerity, whatever. What was the equivalent in the 80s? What did they call austerity? What was the... Did they have a name for fucking everyone over back then?
Poverty, possibly. I don't know.
Yeah, it was just good old-fashioned poverty.
In those days, it was just called poverty, you know?
Now it's called austerity. And I've noticed that Labour said that there'll be no return to austerity. So they're rebranding it, obviously, because they're not actually doing anything about the poverty. It's just... So what does that mean, no return to austerity? What do you think they're going to call it? Tough Decisions, I think it's called.
I know that we're going to make the tough decision. Yeah. We're going to make the tough decision of, you know, we're not going to penalise extremely rich people. We're just going to fuck over the pensioners. Yeah. That's a really tough, difficult decision for them to make. Very tough one, that, you know.
We are in the era of tough decisions. And yeah. I mean, to be fair, I suppose, technically it's accurate because it's tough. Tough luck. Jigsaw Tiger says you're asking great questions. It actually feels like I'm getting interviewed now. Have you any questions for me?
Especially on the fifth anniversary.
It is the fifth anniversary.
I should say you've done a lot. You kept the whole Glasgow music scene and Scottish more generally, but especially Glasgow throughout the lockdown period.
Do you know what? I don't like watching any of my stuff back. So if anybody wants to volunteer their services to watch certain episodes, like for example, my birthday one in 2020 that lasted 9 hours, and the Hug Marie ones, I had a wee quick look at them the other day, and I had to turn it off immediately because I was wasted. And I'm terrified.
I remember, you know, sitting here, because I live on the Isle of Bute, you know, it was as if Glasgow was just coming into my front room during lockdown, and the Burns nights have been brilliant. They've been excellent.
Yeah, I've enjoyed them as well. We actually need to get one on the go for January. We need to get a venue for January and do another one.
We're recording of this song, Can You Show Me? In fact, we'll be playing it this Saturday, and it's Can You Tell Me How to Get to Jamaica Street? And I'm reading The Slave's Lament. Because, you know, we started to write this song. It's kind of a bit like Sesame Street, but it was about Jamaica Street, the Kingston Bridge, Tobago Street, all that, you know, in Glasgow. And then of course, you do have to think that they're called these names because it was to do with slavery and tobacco and all that and import and stuff. So then I just had the idea of, because one of my favourite Burns poems is The Slave's Lament, which was written from the point of view of how to, you know, of being a slave, you know, in Virginia, taken from Africa. And then we've just put it over this thing. It's a ska song, so it's a Burns poem over a ska. I'm just trying to show the jolly side of slavery, you know, the upside of it, you know?
Can you give me a lyric? I think that Bonnie Prince Bob's already seen it. How to Get to Jamaica Street will be massive.
He saw us play it in Edinburgh. So
how did Edinburgh go? Were you doing the Fringe? Did you do a couple of gigs at the Fringe? Or?
Yeah, just through it. What's the name of that bar? I always forget the name of that bar. A bar in Edinburgh. Playing a bar in Edinburgh for the Fringe, you know. So Bonnie Prince Bob came along to see us there. It's just I just read the poem, being honest. But the chorus goes, can you tell me how to get? Can you tell me how to get to Jamaica Street? Just sort of goes on like that, you know.
YCTR was a lifesaver during lockdown, says Ali Grant. Capture Work sessions were truly epic. They were really good.
By the way, you get brilliant sound there. You know,
it was amazing. Yeah. It's hard to believe that we were doing that absolutely live when all your Glastonbury's and everybody they pre-recorded their live streams. But that is a credit to Mackie and the crew at Capturewerks. It was expensive. Don't get me wrong, it was expensive to do, but pretty much everybody chipped in. So I think it broke even every time.
Right.
Apart from the Christmas one, that was a sorrying. That one cost me. But yeah, they were good. I would do them again. I mean, there is a slight chance we might be able to stream Saturday's gig as well, but I don't want to promise anything for two reasons. One, I want everybody that can go to the gig to be there at the gig. And two, the last time we tried to stream from room two, there was technical issues, so I don't want to get anyone's hopes up.
Sometimes there's problems with the mix, you know, the live mix, but the Copperworks gigs were good.
Well, that's it. There shouldn't be. So, like for example, let's just have a look at what I mean. If you look at some, like, so let's go for YCTR Live Room 2. and or is it building a spring? Building a spring. So wait, wait, here, so here's one. Okay, let's go for. Okay. Let's. So, I mean, that's not bad. It's not as good as Capture Bus, but we'll take that. We'll take that. You know what I mean? Then there was another one. What was Dodgy? How did that go?
Was it Bomb Scare? I remember seeing there somebody, one of the ska bands.
Yeah, Bomb Scare played it. I think Bomb Scare played pretty much every single one of them. They loved it. They just kept coming back. But yeah, there was the sound of Room 2 is okay when we get it working, but I did have... I have been working hard in the background to make sure that there's no repeat, because the last one, the sound was just so bad that we just had to cut the stream. And then we didn't have enough audio to even save most of the footage. I think maybe Doghouse's set saved, but I don't think we got DOS. I don't think we got a very rough version of the Twistettes, and we got, what was this other one? Gasp was just, there was no sound for Gasp's set for some reason. So we've looked at the problems, we're trying to address it. We did try and do St. Luke's the other week, but what the good thing is that Mackenzie's got a new a switcher thing, which means it records things automatically, so if the internet is bad, we should have good footage, so we should have your set. We're fingers crossed.
Yeah, I've got a thing about, you know, people turn up at your gig and then they use their phone and they film a couple of songs and then they upload it to YouTube. I generally hate that because... Yeah. I just think it doesn't, nothing against the people doing that, you know, because I know they're doing it with good intentions. I know that. But I mean, because generally the sound, you know, our phone's compressing the sound and everything, you know, so I don't think it represents bands well, that thing, you know.
Are you looking at the screen, Joe?
Yeah.
That's, you call that radio, taking phone videos and uploading them to the YouTube Shorts. Look at that. So what the thing about YouTube Shorts is, so what I try and do is take, if it's something that I'm enjoying, is take a 60-second video, because YouTube Shorts are 60 seconds. So vertical, 60 seconds, and...
That gives a good wee flavour, you know.
A flavour.
For someone that wasn't there.
Yeah, because I wouldn't want to film a full song on my phone. One, I can't be arsed, really. But secondly... When a full song's up there, then I worry that somebody could see that and think this is it's meant to be that way. But I think when you know it's a clip, you know it's a clip. You know that it's not meant
to be. Yeah, well, 60 seconds sounds about right to me, you know, because, like, first of all, I mean, even bands that I like, I mean, I feel I put so much effort into making a video. So, if, like, say 61, you showed the 61, you know, video there that we put a lot of effort into making at that time. That's what I want people to see. But if they stumble across somebody as, I don't know, the back in McCool's or something, you know, and I'm doing 6-1, you know, then it doesn't capture the song, you know what I mean? But it's okay for a wee 60-second clip that gives an idea of what that gig was like, just a wee...
I agree as well. It's like, I think when you get someone that does the full song... You do worry that someone's going to see that and go, I've seen them live. And obviously it's not, especially what you do, Hugh, when you're very interactive. So it's like, without giving any spoilers away, it's like, you need to be, you're part of it.
And then sometimes I feel it's giving away my wee trick. You know, I've got a wee surprise trick. And I want people to see that properly. I don't want the ideas given away and it's given away in a real half-arsed way. You know what I mean?
That's why I'm very careful when I'm trying to describe what it is you do without giving any of your secrets away, because it's a lot of it is due to the element of surprise. Obviously, if you've seen it before, the surprise is gone, but it's still funny because you get to react to other people being surprised, so it's still cool. Epi says, why two shorts are all right to get the vibe of the gig. Yeah, I think also as well, I know that especially sort of, I would say maybe, okay, it's not an age thing actually. I think that some people, you know, when you actually play the gig, it's quite nice to see a picture or a quick clip to know that you did it. Because sometimes it can be a wee bit disappointing if there's not one picture or not one. I don't really want pictures or clips either, but it's nice to have one because you can make a kind of rocky montage of videos.
I suppose I do like the feeling of, you know, the day after a gig, you go onto social media and you feel that that was a really good gig. And then you get feedback that it was a good gig. You know, that's good, you know. Because people commenting, you know, the next day you go on Facebook or something, then people go, oh, that was a great gig. And then they put up some daft photo and a couple of wee videos. And in a sense, that's good. It validates how you felt that the gig went yourself.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, when I say that, I'm quite glad that the clips exist and photos exist. I also don't watch any videos of me. If I've just performed, I can't watch the video for at least a year, maybe 2 years.
I'm a bit like that as well, being honest. Quite, you know,
I mean, I was there. I know what happened. I don't need a camera to lie and tell me.
Well, one of the things is,
I know I was good.
Well, I always see my mistakes, and usually there is a lot of mistakes, you know, so I see my mistakes. So I just think, right.
But it's just the audio's no right. They've not quite figured out. I mean, it doesn't sound as bad as it used to back in the day, but a phone camera. Although it just shows our age that we say phone cameras, you mean your camera. You know what I mean? All phones have cameras now. It's like, oh, your camera phone. But when I never watch it the next day or for about a year or two, because then you can just look back and go, I was shite then, but I'm all right now. But I think sometimes it can take the buzz off it. It can make you think, it can actually, you think it went well and then you see a rubbish video and you think, maybe the whole thing sounded like that, but the camera's not a fair reflection on what people experience. But even if it is accurate, I don't want to know if I was shite. I would rather stay in my bubble that I was okay. It's not like I walk away from gigs going, that was perfect. I don't think I've ever did that. How do you react to, I just try and avoid thinking about that in general. I think that's
I don't know why, I kind of cringe when I see myself a lot of times.
I get that as well. So, but what I mean is that how do you deal with coming off stage and thinking about a gig? Do you analyse it? I'm trying to get into your mind. Do you do a post-match analysis of how you performed? Do you think that went well? Do you beat yourself up if you got something wrong?
A little bit, you know. I just like, you know, there's nothing better. Well, there might be one or two things better, but generally speaking, there's not many things better than you've done a great gig and it's gone really well and you feel it's gone well. You know, that is a brilliant feeling, you know. And, you know, most of the time the gigs do go well, you know, being honest. Well, and so, I mean, that's why I do it. There'd be no other reason to do it.
Tell me a story about the time the gig goes bad. Has a gig ever went bad? Have you got any bad gigs?
I can tell you some. Like, for example, we played, I have to be careful what I say here, but we used to go over to Northern Ireland a lot. And Ireland's a brilliant place. You know, I'm essentially Irish. I used to have an Irish passport. My parents are Irish.
I'm getting one next month.
Well, my brothers and sister have got Irish passports now. The only reason I've kept a British one is if I go back to China to get a job as an English teacher, for whatever daft reason, that's a better passport. But I know that I'm Scottish, actually. But anyway, we went over there and we played the West Belfast Festival. And, like, for example, we were on the radio station and the slogan for the station was "A Station Once Again," you know? And I just get tired of getting ripped off. I don't know what it was in Ireland. You know, I love Ireland, but I've never been ripped off so many times in any country as in Ireland. So we were going over and I was unemployed. And then I have to hire a van. I have to take six people over to Ireland and all that. So basically it's costing me a grand. It was like 1998, 1999. And then We did the gig and the gig went no bad, but then I went down to get paid and the guy who's meant to be paying me, he's no there, you know, and so just get messed about. And then essentially just didn't get paid. So unfortunately for me, that's the last time I've gone over to Ireland. I dare say I'll be back, but you know, that was the worst experience financially, you know.
The worst experience we had financially was going to Leeds Leeds didn't pay us anything.
Right.
Nothing. Not even a drink for while I was on stage, which is the least you can expect.
Sure.
If you're doing a gig. I have a rule with that. I don't care. Like, if somebody's going on stage, give them a drink. It doesn't even be like an alcoholic drink. It could be a water, a soft drink. It's just about, I feel like somebody should be a stage manager, or if it's me, if it's my gig, I'll be the stage manager. That's listen, hand someone a thing as they go on stage. I think it's
sure.
But we didn't even get a pint. We didn't get one pint, and we travelled all the way down to Leeds from Knockingorick. I can't wait. You said you can't go into that one either. I've got a better bit of that, but maybe keep that. We'll maybe keep these stories for the books. Right. Would you ever write a book, Hugh?
I've kind of thought about it, and people have said, I've thought about it. I don't know how many people would be interested, but I've written some kind of, I've just written some chapter things, just almost for myself, just to remember things that happened, you know?
I started writing chapters for my band story years and years ago, and I've started trying to do it again. Because I feel like this is our last album coming out, and I'm hoping that we're going to go to Europe, and then maybe that kind of puts an end for now of that chapter, and just trying to... Yeah, what you said...
I've got friends in Germany, by the way. I'll put you in contact with them, a band That'd over there. They used to really help us a lot in Europe, so I'll put you in contact with them.
That'd be great. It's the bucket list thing, because, I mean, the bucket list when we started was... make a CD, so that's how long ago it was. It's probably 15 years ago. It's like, I wanted to make a CD, and I wanted to play a festival. And I think I've ripped the arse out of both of them. So the third one was playing Europe. Just because I
haven't been back over to Europe now for, I don't know, 15 years, but I remember Germany used to be brilliant. Germany had a really, in the late 90s, the punk scene was kind of still going, and each small town had its own punk club. And I mean, we actually had a promoter that would get us, you know, gigs around Germany. So we used to have a brilliant time. We'd disappear, you know, we'd go through to Switzerland and stuff. We'd disappear for a month. We'd start off in Holland, and we had an excellent time. And you would get much better treated over there than we got treated here in the UK, you know.
Well, that's what we were talking about earlier on. That's what everybody says. I think I stopped in the middle of saying that, but every single person that goes to France or Germany or Spain says they do treat you better. But that's, yeah.
Did you do any gigs in Mexico?
Well, I mean, technically, you know, I mean, technically you could say that I played a gig in Tenerife as well, because my mate was hosting a kind of karaoke stroke. You know, he was playing covers, and we took the guitar off him and played some of our songs. But that doesn't count. I've realised that I could technically have played a few different countries. But what I want, the rule is, I don't care, it doesn't need to be busy, but it's got to be the full band. Otherwise, it doesn't count. Otherwise, I could just walk about doing open mic nights anywhere I wanted. So we need to be booked. We need to be on a flyer.
Of course, nowadays, you just say that you're going on a holiday. Don't tell them it's a band that's playing or anything. That'll be far too much.
Well, I think the trick is, well, not the trick, I just think that you just don't refuse to take money. I think that someone can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think, one, you can't take merch. You can't take merch. That is, because basically, if you take merch, you have to pay for all the merch as if you've sold it all. So if you're taking 50 T-shirts over, you need to give the government 50 T-shirts monies with.
Really?
Over. Yeah, then you get your money back once they count your T-shirts. It's an absolute shambles, man. But we wouldn't really be doing it for the money anyway, so it's like, I don't even think that we're established enough to be commanding big fees on the continent. But it would just be like, what we'd be looking for is our flights and our accommodation. And as far as I'm aware, I don't want to name anyone, but I know people who said that apparently if you're not making money, well, as in if you're not receiving financial reimbursement, then you're okay. We went to South Korea, and I'm not going to mention any bands anymore, just in case the Brexit polls are watching. But just, it's as long as you're not taking financial reimbursement. But what they can do is they can put you up, they can pay for your flights, they can give you dinner, free drinks, I believe. But it's all about the money, because I think that the problem is, it's mainly the main issue is the tax thing. Who gets the tax money? Does the British government's not getting the tax? Everyone wants to cut the tax.
Well, the thing is, you know, even from where we were going round, you still weren't making a profit on the trip. By the time you paid the petrol and the accommodation and all the different things, the food and all that, because we mostly did that in the 90s. We used to go over to Europe all the time in the 90s. And
yeah, so I think you said you were going away for, a month, so I think it'd be quite a different thing that I'm looking at. I mean, what I would like to do is maybe go to a country for 3 days so we could just fly over and maybe get public transport to the next gig, just doing over 3 days, and then maybe taking a week off and then going somewhere else for 3 days. That would be my ideal way to do it. Also, I wouldn't get burnt out. I wouldn't have to worry about hangovers too much because I would just be doing it for a couple of days. And that is the idea. Obviously, the issue that we would then have is either paying for guitars or instruments to get on the plane. But hopefully...
Our ex-drummer, Russell, he never came back. You know, he just... he's married. He's got a grown-up child now in Germany. We left him in southern Germany.
That's crazy. So that person would not exist had it not been for Hugh Reid and the Velvet Underpants.
That's true. And Max, our rapper, I used to call him Red Road Rapper, he ended up living in Germany for 7 years. It's always women that make these situations come about, you know, but why not?
Yeah, I was actually, there's actually a few kids walking around there, either because of my band or because I've put nights on, and people have met each other through the gigs or whatever, or through introductions even with the thing. It's quite mad, isn't it?
I hope no one's been murdered as a result of any of your gigs.
Oh, I don't know. Don't even say that. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. In my case, I don't think so either.
Well, don't tell me if you know something I don't. But yeah, Danny says, really enjoy Hugh's beauty story films. Let you know, Charlie Hepburn from Southside Music is coming along with us on Saturday.
Oh, that's great. Oh, Charlie's a great guy. You'll know Charlie as well, won't you?
Yeah, I think I know Charlie. I go into Southside Music sometimes to...
I actually knew his dad. His dad was also called Charlie, you know.
Yeah.
Southside Music. That's always been a great shop, Southside Music.
I don't know if Charlie knows me, because I usually just go in either to pick up plectrums or random bits and bobs or put a flyer in or something. So, but it's a great shop, and we need more stuff like that.
Yeah.
Paul says, my liver took quite a while to recover from some of the epic lockdown specials. Yeah, I was looking back at some of the footage. It's quite mad because I was wanting to make a wee edit of, like, you know, the story of YCTR for the 5-year anniversary, but there's just too much footage to go through. Maybe what I'll do is get some video footage of my face from 5 years ago and then just see how my hair grows. Because it gets really bad in 2020, 2021, you know. You couldn't get a haircut. But because my face has changed every day and my hair changed every day, you're actually seeing 3 shows a day sometimes. So you can actually, if I could figure out a quick way to do it, we could just see my hair growing and my face getting fat.
There must be some AI app or something that you could put your different pictures
in. I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I want to throw...
No, I just mean AI that will show the changing sort of thing, not to create a false image, you know.
Yeah, I know. I'm unsure of AI. I'm unsure of it.
What I know, I don't trust it.
Well, I mean, Facebook, by the way, for anyone, I've noticed that Instagram and Facebook gave me an option to opt out of AI using. Hold on, for anybody who's interested, I'll actually just send you the link because I think my advice would be to opt out of this thing. Where is it? Here it is. Here, so I'll show you where it is. The link is here. Hold on. But, right, so I'm just going to explain this. So, Facebook is doing a thing. Oh, hold on. It's here. So it's asking for your permission. So it's generative AI. Okay, let's just talk about... Sorry to change the subject. I'll be quick. But I just think... They've been quite sneaky with this. Basically, you're getting a notification, and if you don't object, then they're just going to use your stuff anyway. So generative AI is not a database, but basically what it's doing is it's taking your public comments and your public statements, so basically everything you've done that's not private, and then it's very vague what they're doing with it, but it's to create something.
Well, that means, presumably that means that other people can then use it. You know what I mean?
Well, they can sell it. I don't know. I just don't like the way it's going, so I'll do the link again. Hold on. The link is this. The first one didn't work, but that one was... So it's facebook.com/privacy/GenAI. But what you do is you go to the bottom and the right to object here. So see that there? You click right to object, and then you object, and it's got your... You don't need to give them a reason. You just need to make sure it's your right email address that Facebook's connected with. And just object, man. I'm sure you'll be able to opt in the future if you want, but I've just got to...
I would agree with you, because they'll be using that as part of their big database, you know?
Well, I think they're just wanting to teach machine learning, but I just feel like, you know, I don't like it. I don't understand it.
It was funny, one of the refugees, it's a Ukrainian refugee, you know, she was applying for a job, and so she sent me a message, would I look over her job application? So she came in, and I was totally blown away by how well it was written. And I was going, that's totally fantastic. Don't know if I could do that. And I was like, this is someone that, you know, English is her second language. And then it turned out she'd used the AI, you know, to fill in the application.
And, yeah, I got it. There was this, when we were in Mexico, there was a guy, probably from, I think he was Italian, and he couldn't really speak English much. And then he gave us a review on whatever website we're using. I don't know, it was booking.com or Airbnb. And it was the funniest review ever. He said that we brought us so much fun that our Highland friends strolled into the night filled with fun and beer. And it was like a couple of paragraphs long. And I was like, that's amazing. What a lovely thing. And then I realised that it's definitely, he's asked ChatGPT for that. But there's good sides and bad sides. I'm not against AI in general. It's a tool. Like anything, can be used for good and it can be used for bad.
But who knows where it's going to go, as they say, well, you know.
Like I said, I just don't trust what Facebook are going to use it for. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying I don't. It can be used for good, it can be used for bad, but what are Facebook going to use it for? So I'm just sort of staying away a bit from that just now. Hugh, can I borrow an amp off you again?
I'm sure that'll be fine. I thought there's going to be backline there. Is there not?
Backline's there. I don't know if is he maybe talking about an old story?
Well, there is a story around that.
Yes, I think there's a story, because, by the way, if any of the artists are watching, backline is provided.
But the story is, you know, I started as a community music worker up in Royston, and at that time, the only piece of equipment we had was an amp. That was the only piece of equipment we had. And Joe was playing a gig at the hall, so I went along. And then I kind of left. You know, I just left at the end of the
Scotia.
Gig.
Scotia. Fact check. Scotia.
So I just presumed Joe will be bringing the amp home. So then it's like 2 weeks later, it's the next gig. And I'm going, oh, where's that amp? So I phones up Joe, and Joe goes, I thought you had it. So basically we lost the amp. It was the only piece of equipment that at the time Northern Rock had. Maybe we got it again. I can't remember. Yeah, but that's what happened.
We lost the drummer lost his expensive cymbals one time in Cosmopol, and he found somebody selling it on Gumtree. So we just went to meet him at the bars, and then we just took it off the guy.
I remember we played a gig up like in Tain or someplace. And then we played with this band, and then we brought the drum kit up. So it's just weird like that. So then we went off and stayed somewhere. So then we goes back to the bar, and the drum kit's not there. And then in the bar, they said, oh, the drummer from the other band, he took it away last night. I think he thought we'd forgotten it or something. And I remember we had to drive up this for ages, drive through this country lane in the middle of nowhere, and we literally could hear the drums, you know. Then he goes into this guy's cottage, go, excuse me, I think that's ours, you know. He's lucky he didn't get his head kicked in, to tell you the truth.
It's this Saturday, room 2, it's come along. It's our birthday party, 5 years of You Call Radio. But I want to thank the patrons as well and the YouTube members for supporting this show over 5 years. It's amazing what we've been able to do in that time. Hundreds and hundreds of shows. I was trying to figure out how many shows we've done, but because so many were unlisted, and some of them, I don't even know if you'd count some of them as shows. But we're talking about a thousand shows, easy.
I mean, but honestly, got to hand it to you, Mark. That's your hard work. Well done. Well done.
And we've got Gordy Duncan, Unholy Frankenstein, Brenda, Jinx Lennon, Judy the Velvet Underpants. And we do have an after party. We've actually got two after parties. I just need to decide which one I want to go for. But that'll be free entry for everybody who comes to the gig. So that starts at 10, I think, and it will be till at least 3 a.m. I'm not sure which one we're doing yet. But both one's open till 3, one might be open later than that. But we're going to, there'll definitely be somewhere for us all to go to get a wee chat and a couple of pints, because obviously it's quite, when you're running about organising a gig and you're even just performing, you're just like, it's too much. You don't really get time to relax.
Yeah, for me, it's after the gig, I can relax, you know.
Exactly. I love chatting to people after the gig's done, so we can all just go somewhere and we'll get a pint and we can talk about stuff then. I've got one last act I've not played yet, is Gordy Duncan Jr. So I'm going to play, I'll end with a wee song from Gordy Duncan Jr. And yeah, I'll see you on Saturday, Hugh.
Right, see you Saturday, Mark.
Don't worry about the amp. The backline is provided. And is there anything else you want to shout out here? Actually, I went over. The last thing I wanted to pick up on was the Butte Stories thing. I'll just get a link now to that. Can you tell people a little bit about the
Butte Stories? Okay, just sometimes I've got nothing better to do with my time here. Now, I've just made wee videos, you know, Hugh Reid's Beautiful Butte, just a sort of a guide with bad jokes and Butte, basically. Okay, it's nothing that. It's just me wandering about with a camera, more or less. But because there's a lot of wee interesting things on the island here. So you can check out my music videos and you can check out the Hugh Reid's Beautiful Butte if you want.
I put the link in the comments if anyone's wanting to check it out just now. That'd be amazing. Well, thank you, Hugh. I'm looking forward to Saturday. I'm absolutely buzzing for it. So
I'm really looking forward to it as well, Mark.
The tickets are, you can get pre-order, you can discounted tickets are on schedule right now, and if you're a patron, there's a discount code, and also, if you're just genuinely skint, but you really, really want to go, then just send me a message, and we'll make sure you get in. We're just going to have a party, so why don't you be there, especially if you've been supporting.
And it's a good venue as well, that's the other thing.
They've got the big screens, so remember to bring your logo, or if you want an image behind you, have you got any ideas for that?
Yeah, that's something I'll need to remember.
How about you think? Just bring in a USB and we'll get it behind the screens. If not, we'll just put some You Call That Radio stuff in the background. And the night will start at 7 o'clock with the legendary Gordy Duncan Jr., who is playing his first Glasgow gig, and it must be about 4 or 5 years, maybe 6 years. So looking forward to that. The prodigal drummer is back. And thank you very much, Hugh Reid.
Okay.